in Jesus' name. Let's welcome Gary.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, we got some new faces. I'll send you tapes if I have your address. Okay. Glory to God. Now, those of you that's been here for all these sessions, would you say that this Kingdom Finance Seminar, is the flavor of it and the content of it, has been a little different from what you normally hear in the churches and on the airwaves? When I began this process back in 1992 of starting to spend many, many hours praying in the Holy Ghost, I really didn't know what to expect. I knew Pastor David told us that if you begin doing that, your 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells you that while you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God, not unto men. No man understands you, howbeit in the Spirit you're speaking mysteries. And I knew that somehow, you know, Dave says, you know, how many of you think that you're going to be explaining mysteries to God? No. He's going to be explaining mysteries to you. And it's things that we need to know, like our calling and understanding really what the Bible means. And he's got, since I'm not going to keep you for more than 3 hours. Anyway, no. No, I know what he's going to do. It's not real long. And I've got to hear my song tonight now, so don't be putting up no guitars. I'm not even going to turn there. I'm just going to tell you. In Numbers 33, you don't need to look there right now. I believe it's verse 50, but it's right in there. You'll find that the instructions, Moses was giving instructions from God to them for when they came into the Promised Land. The Promised Land is a type and a shadow of the abundant life we're supposed to be living. Jesus said, "The thief comes but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I thank God for the day that I got saved and born again. That day you enter over into that Promised Land. In that verse, though, they get instructions, and it says you're to cast lots by chance and divide up the Promised Land. To the bigger tribes you're to give more, and to the smaller tribes you give less. But each one is to be cast, where they're going to live in the Promised Land is to be decided by chance. It's really not by chance, it was God using that method to allocate the land. And for years I didn't really understand the type and shadow. I mean, everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of good things to come, not the actual thing. And then I got it one day. I was, you know, just praying the mysteries, and one day it's just so simple. None of us get to choose our calling. You don't get to choose your calling. God decides whether you're a minister. See, I know a lot of teams, ministry teams, song teams, whatever you want to. A lot of talent. I've seen a lot of talent. I seldom see anointing. Boy, if you couldn't feel God come into the room during that thing, you need to get saved. I mean, glory to God. I think these men, they have found their inheritance. And it wouldn't do for them to do something else if that's what God has allocated for them. Each one of us, we find our inheritance as the Lord will. He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. He decides what you are and what your portion is in the Promised Land. Well, with that in mind, when I began praying in other tongues, I had no earthly idea that when the revelation started coming back to me, that God was going to start opening up my understanding to Kingdom finances the way He did. All I would do is go pray. I wasn't like trying to direct the Holy Spirit to teach me in that area. I was just spending lots of hours in prayer. But when the understanding started to come back, it was in those arenas. I didn't choose that. He chose that. And those, when you go to the website, I went there again today. I review them once in a while. I was reviewing the lessons and just to see if the Lord might speak to me about what He wanted to say, because we only had so few meetings here and there's so much to teach. But as I was reviewing them again, I'm reading them, and I'm going, God, I'm not that smart. Somebody besides me wrote these. I remember when they came, and I'm reading them again, and I'm going, oh my God, and even after all these years, I wouldn't change a word. They're right. It's God, you know. Well, that in the early days, we had a spell of several years, and most of that was taught at Pastor LaRue's church down in Houston, LaRue Atkinson. And I remember I was on my trip home from there the last time. This was years ago, and the Lord said, I've taken you as far as I can regarding kingdom finances. At your present level of understanding, he says, you're going to have to understand more about who you are, what really happened to you at the new birth, and you have to understand more about your inheritance before I can begin teaching you any more about it. Well, about that time is when my pastor, Dave Roberson, your pastor, he announced that he was going to start taking us down what he calls, quote, the born-again trail. And at first, everybody thought he was kind of like, you're going to teach all these born-again people about the born-again trail? We thought he was kind of half-kidding. Oh, my God. I've learned more about what happened to me in the last few years than in all the previous years put together. I'm leading up to what he's wanting to say here tonight. Now, here's the thing. Only a couple of months ago, apparently I've learned enough. Only a couple of months ago in my prayer time has he started opening up that vein again on kingdom finances. I love the words in these songs. I had a vision of this brother that day that he sang the one about the joy of losing everything. And as soon as I heard him sing it, I saw in the Old Testament, there's one of the prophets talked about the wheel that crushes the grain. I'm real familiar with that wheel. And I knew you were too when I heard the lyrics to that song. I said, this is a brother that's after the heart of God. Oh, God, how do I say that? Okay, let me say it this way. After you've been under the wheel, nothing interests you but truth. That's it. I don't care about success. I don't care about... I like to be liked, but I don't have to be. Amen. long as he likes what I'm doing. You know? Nothing really matters but him and truth. Well, he began opening up some things to me in these last few months. But I'm telling you, he said all that to say this. The most humble thing you can do, the whole purpose of the wheel, is humility. Break off that old outer husk. What's left inside is... So it's humility. It's breaking down all the falsehood. But see, the humblest thing you can do is believe God's word. And sometimes it takes real courage, because you're going to have to strip off maybe centuries of man's traditions to really believe what God did for us. Now, they don't go ahead and open up to two places. This isn't going to take them 3 hours, don't worry. It won't take very long. Open up to John 17. I noticed they opened up by having his wife read that passage. You don't know this, but John 17, if I had to settle for just one chapter in the Bible, it would be John 17. For years and years, it's been my favorite. Because here you have God the Son praying to God the Father. And if there was ever a prayer uttered that could be answered, it's John 17. The things in here are so far beyond the mind of religion. We'll probably still be getting revelation knowledge out of this a billion years after we're in heaven. Because we've got an infinite God trying to reveal himself to a finite people. I loved it. It's something you said while you were singing. This infinite God trying to... I teach it like this. You know, God is three. God is one. There's only one God, right? But he is an infinite God trying to reveal himself to a finite people. So he goes, well, I'm one, but I'm three. I'm God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but I'm one. And see, if we try to think about that too much, if we really get to thinking, our brain starts leaking right out of our left ear. You just have to believe it by faith. Okay, you'll show me the rest after we get there or something. We have to believe it, right? Well, that's what's going to happen here. Because now let's look at a few of the verses that she read. It's just so amazing to me, brother, that she read this. I was going, oh God, if I ever needed a confirmation, there it is right there. Now the ones I want to look, starting verse 20, just where she did. Because we've got to understand, everything he prayed for them, he was also praying for us. This prayer is no less for you than it was for them. Because he says right here, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. one way or another, the gospel came to you through the testimony of those men, one way or another, down through the centuries. So it's this prayer is for us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now look at this next verse. What in the world? And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now Jesus means something by those words. I was raised in a denominational religious type church where they would emphasize phrases like, and his glory he will not share with another. That's a verse, that's a chapter and verse. All the glory belongs to the Lord. Amen? All of it does. He will not share with another. Yes, amen. But he means something. And this means something. The glory, look at this. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. And something about that glory, when we receive it, it makes us one. What in the world? Gary, what do you do when you come to verses like this? That if I begin praying in other tongues, because buddy, that's a mystery. What do you mean by that? I go over to Ephesians 2 for a minute. I'm sure we'll still be getting revelation knowledge of what that glory is a billion years after we're in heaven. But I'm starting to get little inklings of it now. He's starting to open up little parts of it that he said I'd have to understand in order to be able to go on with the rest of this kingdom stewardship and really understanding kingdom finances. And before I even read this, in those early days when I was praying, and again, money was staying away from us in great abundance. Okay, you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I didn't know God very well. I was just starting on this path. I was praying and praying. I loved him with all of my heart, but I didn't know him very well. So all of the teachers were telling me, boy, you better make sure you did this, and you got to give, and you got to tithe, and you got to put an offering through. You know, the tithe opens the windows of heaven, but the offering through that window determines how much you receive. And man, I've got all this in my brain. I'm making sure, you know, have I done this? Have I done that? Have I made my confession? I'm making sure I got all my I's dotted and all my T's crossed. And because, boy, I mean, we're needing help. We're needing God to come help us. I mean, we're in trouble, big trouble. And my mind is, I'm driving down the road. I know right where I was. I was driving by a great big old red and white checkered water tower on Union Avenue. You probably see it sometime. I was driving right by there. And I had all this stuff going through my mind, making sure that I've done everything I need to do, because, boy, I need a blessing from God. I need God's help. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, this thought never went through the mind of Jesus. And I'm going, what thought? I'm waiting for the thought. Boy, the voice was just as clear. This is one of those, I wonder if you had heard it, if you'd been in the car. I don't know. This thought never went through the mind of Jesus. I'm waiting. What is the thought? You ready? Here's the thought. What must I do today to get my Father to bless me? That thought never went through the mind of Jesus. And I'm going, I am consumed with that thought. All of my thinking is going over everything I'm doing, because I'm consumed with, have I done what needs to be done in order to get my Father to bless me? And the Holy Spirit, he went right for the jugular. He just, you know, that thought never went through the mind of Jesus. And what would be a good next question? As a man after my own heart, we think alike. And I'm going, well, how did he think? You ready? He believed he was his Father's son and the heir to all that the Father has. Now I heard those words. Those words I've already got recorded for you at the website. I heard them. I understood a little bit about it. But it's only in the last 2 or 3 months that he's opened up some more about it. Because this has everything to do with that glory. See, Jesus, when he came to earth, what I mean by that, conceived in the womb of Mary, from that birth up until the resurrection, he is called the only begotten of the Father. Because he's the only man, if you're human, in human form, he's the only human on planet Earth that has life in his spirit from above. Every other human on the planet, the life in them was passed down from Adam and Eve, who had children, who grew up, who had children, who grew up, who had children. And that sin nature, you know, we know from Romans 5 that by that one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There is no death in God's nature. So that life that was in Adam was corrupted. It's what we call the sin nature, and it's passed down horizontally on the earth to every generation. Everybody on the whole planet, except one man, had that death nature in him. And there's only Jesus at that moment is the only begotten of the Father. But after he was crucified, took our place, was buried, suffered the penalty that we richly deserved, and was raised from the dead, and turned around and said, "Come and follow me." The life that the Father gave for the Son to have in himself, the Son turned around when you received him, and he gave for you to have that same life in yourself. Romans chapter 8 calls him the firstborn of many brethren now. The glory that none of us had was sonship. When he first came, he's the only Son of God. The only offspring, let me say it this way, the only offspring of the Father on planet Earth. But through what he accomplished after the resurrection, the whole purpose is when you believe that same life. Now that's why he's called the second man, the last Adam. He is the progenitor of the species you belong to. Now he's the firstborn of many brethren. And that is the glory, at least one aspect of it, that we did not have before. We are born of God. I said earlier today, we ought to lock the doors and pull the drapes because meetings like this are for aliens only. We're from another world. That's what Jesus says in that same prayer, John 17. Father, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We're really invaders. And again, for those of you that wasn't here, these earth suits, why did he leave us in these? Camouflage. Those poor unsuspecting sinners, they see you walking up. You look like another human just like them. They don't know that you're really an invader from another world come to rescue them from hell. I mean, the magnificence, God is a genius. He left us in these things, but on the inside, we're the offspring of God. Now, watch how this will affect you when it comes to freedom from legalism, freedom from the law. For years, and I'm not trying to mock, well, maybe a little bit, but I'm not really trying to mock. For years, I was raised with some thundering from the pulpit about Malachi chapter 3. Well, a man robbed God, you're cursed with a curse. You know, they just, man, I mean, just scare you half to death, you know, and it is in there, you know. And they'd talk about, you know, man, you got to, when you tie that opens the windows of heaven, and God will pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. Okay? I was raised with that, like you're raised with that. That's in the Bible, is it not? Yeah. But does it apply to us? Well, let's see. Well, I did believe it for years. Now, yeah, I got to show you this first. Wait a minute. Yeah, let's go ahead and read this verse. Ephesians, did I say go to Ephesians 2? Hallelujah. So let's look at this process, what happened to us now. You get a witness here from the Word. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and now notice, and were by nature. You see that? That's the old sin nature. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, and that word quickened means from death to life, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now here's our verse. Remember this one. And hath, past tense, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, you got that verse? We'll come back to it here in just a minute. Hang on here now. Hallelujah. I've got to be able to move for a minute. I think that'll be okay. Hallelujah. That's good enough. All right, now, let's go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear before this came alive to me. And they're telling me, I mean, again, Sue and I, we're in a state where money is staying away from us in great abundance. We need the windows of heaven open. Can you relate with me? And what they're telling me at the time, some of them are saying, well, the tithe, obviously the tithe opens the windows of heaven. And if God's going to pour you, and some of them would say, well, the 10%, that opens the window. And then the amount of offering you put through that window, that determines your blessing. I mean, you know, some of them say that, some don't. Well, all I know is I need the windows open. What I mean is I need God to bless us. We're in trouble. So, if you can, I started having like this vision one time. I was trying to understand this. Now, if you could picture me in this vision, I came up to like a castle wall, and maybe that would represent somehow this is heaven, you know. And there's a big window right in front of me here, and it's a window in the wall of heaven. That's the one I've been trying to get open, and I go over to it in this vision. Now, this little movie is playing in my mind. I've been praying and praying in the spirit. And in this movie, I'm over here going, I'm getting a hold of the window. I'm trying, you know, it's closed. And I'm going, boy, if I can get this window of heaven open, God will pour me out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. And I'm going, I'm lifting up on this window. It won't open. About that time, a preacher appears over in one corner, and he says, throw money at it. So I start throwing money at the window. He sets a bucket down to catch it. He says, so I'm throwing money at the window, and I go over, he says, throw an offering plus, throw money and an offering. So I'm back here and I'm throwing more money at the window. I'm trying to get the window open. He's got more buckets now catching everything down at the bottom. I'm going, I'm not sure this is working, but anyway, I'm trying to open this window, and I've given my tithes, I've put my offering, come on, window, open. And about that time I hear a voice, and the voice says, look through the window. I go, oh. And I walk up, and it's glass, and I look through the window. In there I see Jesus seated on the throne. And you know who I see seated next to him? Me. My spirit, look what it says. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 6. We don't yet know who we are. And it says, he has raised us up together, hath, past tense, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in this vision, it's like I'm standing outside the window, but the real me, the spirit me, the part of me that is the offspring of God, is seated in there with Jesus. And so if you could picture me seated, you know, sitting here looking, here's Jesus sitting next to me, and there's my poor legalistic mind, the soul part of Gary, out there trying to open the window. And I'm actually embarrassed. I'm looking at Jesus going, I'm sorry my soul is so ignorant. That is so out of tune with reality, it doesn't know that you've already seated me in here with you. I'm embarrassed for my soul, Jesus. I apologize.
and I start shouting at my soul, go around to that door. It's open. Come on in. We're already seated in here. Now see, it's going to take guts to believe that. Because what Jesus is really saying, a part of that, my glory, the glory you gave me, I've given them. Listen, he was seated with God before he came to earth. He was God's son before he come down here. When he come down here, he was the only one. He was the only offspring of God. That's his glory. Right before that, in John, he says, I and my Father are one. Remember that? He was the only one. He could have left it that way too if he wanted to. But he didn't want to be just one. His Father wanted more than one son. His Father wanted many brethren. Father, the glory that you gave to me as the firstborn, the inheritance that you've given me as the firstborn, I'm going to finish the job, Father. And I'm going to become the firstborn of many brethren. The position I have with you, the standing I have with you as a son, I'm sharing it with them. And the inheritance I have with you as a son, I'm sharing it with them. But we have got to grow up and have the courage to believe what the Bible really says. Otherwise, we're just lambs to the slaughter of religion. Be led by formulas and not by life. We are going to have to understand these things to be free. Now listen, if you had taken a trip to heaven yourself, see, because it's not just Gary seated there, it's each and every believer. We all have that position. There's a chair there with your name on it. Can I say it that way? If you had been there and visited it and come back to earth because you've got to work here, this is where the harvest field is, and somebody comes up to you and you've already been to heaven, you know you're really seated there all the time, and you know your inheritance is, you've got the full inheritance of the Son. And some preacher says, you know, if you want to open the windows of heaven, and you say, buddy, I live in that place. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm daddy's favorite. Because we can all say that. I'm my daddy's favorite. I still like this. My picture is on his refrigerator. You know? What do you mean open the windows of heaven? Just like Jesus. All that the Father has is mine. So it takes courage and it takes real humility to believe verses like this. Say this with me. Good for you? No. Boy, they're willing though. Glory to God. Just say this. I'm growing up. By faith I say. I am not confused about who I am, where I'm from, why I'm here, and what I have to accomplish the work. I'm God's offspring, joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That kind of talk will scare even the devil. He has to keep us believing, religious lies, that we're just the same old creatures we were before, just sin nature, that we're just an old sinner saved by grace. I know that sounds so right, and we've heard it for so long. That's Old Testament salvation. We were an old sinner. You got that right. You're looking at a big time one. I was an old sinner. So were you. Thank God we got saved by grace. But we're not that same old creature. My Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. According to this verse, say this after me, I am already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to open the windows. I'm living in the house with Daddy.
You better praise Him right about there. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Now, where do you get that kind of stuff?
Out of the Bible.
Out of the Bible, but how else? By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. All I can tell you at this point, there haven't been a whole lot of new things at the website in a lot of years, and I just told you why. I could only go so far. But I'm seeing now He's beginning to open the doors again. Those of you that want to go there, everything is free. And what is there is the culmination of just telling it how it is. It's thousands and thousands of hours praying in the Holy Ghost. And it's there for the taking. Every generation should not have to reinvent the wheel. Take what's there. But tune in. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think that's all He wanted to say. Hallelujah. Now can we do my song sometime before this is over? Glory to God. When I heard that line, two lines really in there. I've only heard, lest I... And then the other one about, unless I have the taste of earthly things. Lest I hunger for the taste of the earthly things. All right, you still got your Bible? I hope I can find this real quick.
Come on.
I hope I can. Yes. Glory to God. It amazes me how the Holy Ghost knows the Bible. Go to Colossians 3. Lest I... Say it again. Here, wait a minute.
Lest I hunger for the taste of earthly things. Give me vision, give me wings. Lest I wander from the hope that you'll upbring. Give me vision, give me wings.
And the joy.
Oh, that's after the chorus.
Okay.
And I will... You understand?
Yeah. That's all right. You're doing good.
Okay. And I will fly through heaven's doors, feast in your presence, lie at your feet. And I'll be with you evermore, safe in the fullness of your peace. Lest I lose the joy of losing everything. Give me vision.
Oh, I love that. Lest I lose the joy of losing everything. And He doesn't want to develop this taste for earthly things. Now look at this. Colossians chapter 3. This is another sonship passage. See, life is so daily. Have you noticed that? And the whole earth is programmed opposite to God. I mean, everything you see, everything you feel, the news reports, everything is trying to discredit the truth of God's Word. And if we give ourselves to those things, heavenly things become dim and distant. But look at this. If you then be risen with Christ. How many in here we got like that? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. Now get that. Did you know that in your spirit, when you accepted Christ, you also died with Him? You have already done, in your spirit, all the dying you're ever going to do. I like to say it. Now, we're going to lay down this body someday. But that's almost like stepping out of a suit of clothes. Okay? Say it like this. See, we've got to start thinking and talking like eternal creatures. Say it like this. I am already living my eternal life with Jesus. I've already done all the dying I'm ever going to do. I'm already living forever with Jesus. Hallelujah. Your old temporal life ended the day that you accepted Christ. See, we keep thinking we're temporary creatures and we're about to step into eternity. No! We stepped into eternity the day that we died in Him. And that's what this is saying. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, not going to be dead. You already died. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're already seated there if you be risen with Him. And you have. Because God has quickened us and raised us up and seated us already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Brother, I got to quit. That's just...
Yeah, the head goes... Again, are y'all noticing your left ear? Your left ear? These things, they're truth, but we're talking God's truth. And you have to believe it. You have to receive it, even though the mind has some trouble with it. But see, the religion wants you... I keep trying to quit, don't I? Religion so has to keep beating you down and making you think God's mad at you and all of that. The truth of the matter is, with all your faults, with all your imperfections, you are God's hope in the earth. God's desperate for us to get a hold of this. God's desperate to get some people that finally are dead to the love of money so He can trust them with some of it. Man, I got to travel South Africa this last year. I saw poverty that just scares you. I mean, it's scary poverty. No way on planet Earth or heaven is it God's will that people live like that. They won't live like that in heaven, I can guarantee you that. And God, if He had His way, if He could raise up some gospel entrepreneurs, raise up some people that know that they're already living forever and that they can't be bought anymore, they can't be pressured anymore by the things of this world, they're only moved by the love of God for human beings, where that wisdom could come, where God could trust them with the money, there is just no telling what He could do in this earth to reap a harvest of souls before the end. Because what matters in heaven is people. He's trying to reach these people. But in order for that to happen, we're going to have to believe passages like this. And I mean in the face of religion, that's going to come doing everything it can to steal that kind of truth from you. We are already seated with Him. We are already joint heirs. That being the case, one more confession, I promise. There is no lack. There is no lack. Psalms 34:10. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. King James, it says want, but you look it up, it's the Hebrew root word for lack. The young lions. Why is he using that analogy? Isn't the lion is the king of the beasts? What is more powerful than a young lion, a young one in its prime? Strong legs, fast, powerful jaws. I mean, if there's any creature on earth that's able to provide for itself, it'd be a lion in its prime. But it's saying there's times that even the young lion might hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Nothing. Why did Jesus multiply the loaves and fishes? Why did He do it that way? He could have arranged a banquet ahead of time. He could have arranged for food to already be there. He could have done it like we do it. Jesus is smart. He could have sent money ahead and had all that done. Why did he do it with the loaves and fishes? It's not that we should expect always to be miraculously fed. He wasn't always miraculously fed. What He wanted us to know is, when we get to the place where there's the Red Sea in front, mountains on either side, Pharaoh coming up hard behind, it looks like certain death, nothing, no way out, nothing can be done, He says, I am your provision. I am your deliverance. You bring me what you have. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's enough. There is no lack in Christ. That's the inheritance. That's part of the glory He's given us. If He says, do it, we go forth in the name of the Lord, trusting Him, there'll be more than enough in Jesus' name. Amen?
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
It's her fault. She won't let me quit. She's back there like, just her eyes. She's just, I feel this big, like a big sponge back here.
Hallelujah.
This is can you tell these kind of things, like tonight and the things we studied? It's a far cry from plunk your little $2 in that offering bucket. Multiply it back. Dear God. I think, hey, plunking money in the bucket, that's the end product for gospel entrepreneurs. We're called to finance these works. But it's not by formula. It's by relationship. Again, knowing who we are, where we're from. I got to quit looking at her. Where we're from. And why we're here. Well, now, here, now she's doing it. Look at her. Father, I thank you for these people. Father, what a glorious day. What a glorious day this has been, Father. I'd just like to repeat it. I wish I had it all on TiVo or something, right? It's just been wonderful, Father. Thank you for the whole day. Thank you for everything you've done. Father, we know these have been a short time of fellowship, but Father, your word is imperishable. Your word is alive. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Father, we know that your word has gone deep into good soil. And I declare a harvest not only for these people, but a harvest for your kingdom. Lord, that first come the financial harvest by the wisdom of God that will be sent in wisdom, your wisdom, to reap a harvest of souls from a lost and dying world. Father, thank you. Thank you again for the blood of the Lamb. In His name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.